are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Morning. How are we all doing today? Excellent. That's good to hear. Who's got a Bible? Yeah. Good. Grab it out. Grab your phone. Grab your iPad. Grab whatever you have, the Word of God. On, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 18 this morning. Matthew 18, and we're going to read from verse 21, but we're going to read from there just in a second. Coffee lovers, is there any coffee lovers in the house? There's a few. Who's had a coffee already this morning? Who is yet to have one but will be having one at some point today? Who never ever touches the stuff? There's a few people, definitely the minority though. And I used to be one of you. I used to be one of you that kind of didn't understand. I didn't get it. I didn't get what coffee was about. And I was so convinced that coffee was a non-essential part of life that I used to just have a crack at people that was, you know, there's coffee drinkers, and then there's this whole other group of people that, you know what I'm talking about, like those people, right? Anyway, I used to have an attitude towards all coffee drinkers in that way, that they were like in this little crowd up here, and I used to have a crack at them. And this week, Cass looked at me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, "Babe, you're a coffee drinker." And I couldn't deny it. I've come over to the dark side, coffee drinkers, yeah, for the last couple of years. And so I just want to say, on behalf of all people who don't understand the liquid goodness of coffee, we are sorry to the coffee drinkers. Would you forgive us, please? Forgive us. So put your hand up if you're a coffee drinker. Look around. Now turn to one of those people and say, "Please forgive me for not understanding that liquid goodness that you love." Did we say that? "Please forgive me." Good. And now that we've had a practice with that today, we're going to dive deeper into the subject of forgiveness today. Forgiveness. And we're going to use this scripture in Matthew as our base. So here we are, and Jesus is sharing a parable. He's sharing a story, a made-up story, to illustrate a spiritual lesson with his disciples. And this one is called the Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. And we're going to read it, and then we're going to unpack it as we go along. So let's read in Matthew 18, 21. It says this: "Then Peter came up to him and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?' 'As many as seven times.' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I know that doesn't mean too much to us right now because we don't understand, but I did some research, I did some digging, and it is pretty broad where people are trying to peg this at, but I tried to find an average, and it was really about $3 billion in today's market. So really, the point was, it's an astronomical figure that really there's no realistic way that they'd be able to pay it back. Whatever the case, it's massive, and they would have thought that. Verse 25, "And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about $5,000. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay back all his debt, which obviously was never going to happen. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you've been doing in this meeting already this morning. And Lord God, right now we just sit, we stand, we open up our hearts to you and say, have your way in us, Lord God. Father, just as we've been praying for this service this morning, we just know, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to us today. Lord, we know that these are not words just made up by people singing songs, or people ministering the word, Lord God, but these are your words, Lord God, going forth. So, Father, I just pray that you would have your way in us this morning. Do your mighty work. Be glorified by the way that you work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. A few months ago, we went through a series on a Sunday night, and I spoke about it before, called Jesus the Game Changer. It was a really excellent series, and one of the sessions was on forgiveness. We had a whole session on forgiveness, and really at the end of it, it came to detailing the way that when Jesus came, how his teaching on forgiveness was revolutionary. It was so countercultural, and that's the word. They're the words that we heard numerous times throughout this series. And as he came 2,000 years ago, his teaching on forgiveness, although it made ripples and although it was countercultural, it wasn't just countercultural for the sake of being different. There was a massive purpose behind it, because Jesus actually knew what was coming. He knew that by teaching on forgiveness, what was to come in regard to forgiveness was so essential for us moving forward. And today I wanted to look at two aspects of forgiveness that as Jesus detailed in the parable in Matthew. We're going to look at the forgiveness of the Father God for us, and we're going to look at the instruction of Jesus for us to forgive others. And that's going to be later on. And I need us to know that before we get to forgiving others, it's essential that we understand that for us to be able and to be willing to forgive others, it only grows out of the root of being forgiven ourselves. Is there anyone in church who knows that they've been forgiven today? Anyone? Can we praise God for the fact that we've been forgiven this morning? Come on, let's just praise God right now for the fact that we are a forgiven people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. So it's only out of this straight up and down forgiveness that we're then able to do this forgiveness here. And we're going to take communion this morning, and it's a little bit different to take it sort of in the middle of a message, but I just want to invite the servers, if you guys can come and serve us communion, that would be wonderful this morning. Dan, why don't you come up? Dan's going to play the guitar for us, and Amy, you can help out too. What an amazing time of worship we had this morning already. Praise God. And I'd actually like to wait until we have communion in our hands before I continue on with the message this morning. But right now we have the opportunity. Let's just prepare our hearts. Communion is an act of remembrance. Pastor Graham prayed this out in the back this morning. We do it most Sundays at church. And I think as with anything that we hear repetitively or anything that we do repetitively, it's so easy to take it for granted. We had a word about that already this morning as well. I bet if we spoke to the team that you went to Uganda, went to Amari every year, the value that there is in the electricity that gets connected or the water that turns out of a tap, there's this wow. Yet how often we go home to our own house and we turn the tap on and like it's just a no-brainer. There's no wow factor to turning your light on anymore, is there, at home? There's none. But may the love that was shown us by Jesus' death and resurrection never lose its wow, right? Yeah. Never lose its wow to us in these times of communion here at church and in our everyday lives. So just as we wait, just to get all the communion out, let's just close our eyes. Let's just prepare our hearts. Let's remember what our Lord Jesus did for us. The act of forgiveness that has been shown us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, let this time of remembrance of what you did for us, Jesus, never lose its wow. Father, let it be revelation again for us today. Just how much you loved us. The passion that you have for us, oh God. Just as we sit with the cup and with the biscuit in our hands, there's four things I want us to remember right now. Number one is the fact that we have all sinned. We have all sinned. Not one of us can stand before God and say that we have not. That we have not missed the mark. And I think there's this temptation for us sometimes to compare ourselves with others and say, well, you know, at least I'm not as bad as them. And or you might be sitting here and you're thinking, man, I'm just a massive sinner. Like, I'm huge. I'm as big as you can get. And, you know, that might be true. But here, right now, either you've sinned or you haven't. There's two categories. And if you're wondering which one to put yourself in, Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all. We are all in that category. We've sinned and we've fallen short of the mark God has set for us. But here's the next verse. "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is forgiveness. He is where it originated, and our forgiveness and our sin, our redemption, a forgiveness of sin, and our redemption is found in him. The second one, once we know that we are all sinners, we have all sinned, is that God's love is extraordinary. I couldn't actually think of an accurate word after that. God's love is, I just didn't know how to describe it. It's extraordinary. It is incredible. Because in Romans 5:8, we catch one part of the love that God has for us. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He died for you. And even in that state where we were sinners, Christ died for us. We hadn't done anything to deserve it. We were sinning against him. But God had compassion for us. And his compassion turned to action. Though our sin was great, his love was greater. And though our sin still is, his love still is greater. And what should our response be to this great love? In finding ourselves in sin with our Savior calling us out, our response to God's love is to repent, is to turn. Acts 3:19, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Our response to his love is to repent, is to turn from our sin, is to leave it behind and to walk towards the things of God, to walk ahead free from the weight of sin. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. But as we go about life working in sin, that all we reap from that is death. But the gift of God, praise him, is eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. By calling him Lord, we're saying not what I want to do, not sin, but your ways. We turn from our own way of living and run towards you, Jesus. And after we repent, as we do that, the fourth thing for us to know is that forgiveness is found. as we acknowledge our sin, we respond to God's love, we repent from our sin, forgiveness is found. Jesus is found. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, church, is the good news of the gospel right there. That we serve a faithful and just God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that as we believe in him, we will not perish but have eternal life with him. It is by his broken body and his shed blood that we are forgiven and drawn back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. And for some people, I know forgiveness is a really hard thing. We're going to talk about forgiving others. But right now, knowing that God has forgiven you, I know there are some people here and you need to forgive yourself. We can be bound in unforgiveness. But we serve a mighty God. I can see you broken free from that right now. Praise you, Jesus. Just with your eyes closed, we're just going to sing this song. What can wash? Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the flow. Sing it one more time. Come on. What can wash?
What can wash away my sin?
Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Sounds I know nothing but the love of Jesus.
Father God, we thank you so much for your blood. Thank you so much for your love. And right now, church, just I want to give you a moment just to allow God to bring anything to the surface, any sin that we need to confess. It may be a secret sin. It may be something that you have never spoken to anyone about before. Let's bring that to God right now. God sees it, and Jesus died for it, for the forgiveness of that sin, to set us free. There is freedom in forgiveness. There is breakthrough in forgiveness. Breaking of the power of that sin as we bring it before Jesus. So let's just take a moment right now. You can take communion whenever you're ready. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much that we can come so freely before you. No matter how bad we feel we are, no matter how many things we feel we've done wrong, no matter how much we have missed the mark by, we can bring it before you. There is forgiveness for our sin. We just praise you for that, Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to pass your glasses, pass your cups to the end of the row. As we do that, let's just sing this one more time.
Oh, I can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
So precious.
Oh, precious. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning again. We praise you, God. We worship your name this day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you, serving team. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. And now we are called to forgive. And it's important, as I said before, that we know it in that order, that we have been forgiven. We are called to be forgive. Called to forgive. If we remember back to the parable that Jesus shared, we have a master who is owed a huge amount of money. And he forgives it, which is amazing for us because we owed a debt that we could never pay, right? But it's the follow-through here that has Jesus all riled up on this one. And Peter asks the question, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times. And the reason he uses that number seven is because in Jewish law, they were instructed to forgive three times. If someone sins against you, you are to forgive them three times. If someone cuts you off in traffic, three times. After that, all bets are off. Do what you need to do. After the third time someone steals your lunch out of the work fridge, it's all up to you from there. If your child loses their school jumper after the third time in 3 weeks, they can pay for it for the rest of their life. Every piece of school clothing. Oh man, anyone, parents feel that pain? It was just me. Man, over and over.
It's their spiritual gift.
It's the spiritual gift of losing school clothing. Great. Moving on, forgiveness, we're forgiven. So Peter thinks that Jesus, speaking about being more gracious in this aspect, is go, all right, if three is the rule, then is it seven? Because that's, seven's a lot. That's a lot of school jumpers, Jesus. Seven. Jesus says, no, not seven. He says, but 77. Another translation says 70 times seven, which is what? That was a bit slow, everyone. 490. I was expecting someone to get bang. 490. But really, really there's no limit to the number of times we should be forgiving. This is what Jesus is saying. And I tell you what, aren't we happy for that truth when it comes to us? That there is no limit to the number of times that Jesus forgives us as we fail again and again. It's not three, it's not seven, it's not 77, it's not 490. But God is faithful to forgive the sins of the world over and over again out of the amazing love he has for his children. And his instruction to us is to do the same. The Lord's Prayer, we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 6, if you've got it there. Just flick back from Matthew 18, where we were, to Matthew 6. We're going to read from 9 to 15. And this passage, as I said, is known as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching the people on prayer, and he says, here's how to pray. He gives us this example. Here's how to pray. Let's read it. Let's read it all together, shall we? Come on. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the end of verse 13. And in verse 14, after Jesus has finished this, he clarifies it. And this is what he says in the very next verse. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I get that that's heavy, right? It's pretty full. But it's repeated again in the parable in Matthew 18. The last verse, 35, says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Like, I get it that that's big. All this to say that this issue of forgiveness is a really serious thing. And note the last part that I said in verse 35, from your heart. See, true forgiveness is not surface level. True forgiveness is not just from the mouth, it's from the heart. And I know sometimes we can get to the point where we may say that we forgive someone, but deep down inside us, we still have this bitterness or this hatred or this whatever it is towards them for what they did to us, what they did to us. It's easy to think of forgiveness, I think, as a one-time act that I forgive you, and that's what we've done. But sometimes, and I love this quote from Martin Luther King Jr., how he put it. He says, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude. That is heart forgiveness. That we don't just forgive and wipe our hands, but it is a constant attitude that's rooted in the revelation of God's love and forgiveness for us. That's what enables us not only to forgive, but to love our enemy also, right? As I was studying these passages, I found myself asking, why does Jesus give us such an ultimatum? Why is this teaching on forgiveness so strong? Because we can see it really is. And I realized that like most instruction that God gives us through his word, though it may be hard for us in our selfish and sinful nature, not only is God glorified when we're obedient to him, but you know, we benefit in the process as well. It helps us. God cares for us. And this is certainly true when it comes to the pain of unforgiveness. It's inevitable in life, I think, that we get hurt by people. It just it seems to be part of life. We live in a broken world with broken people, and whether it be a minor offense to us or whether it be something totally unthinkable that has caused immeasurable suffering to you or to people around you, like hurt happens. And when we see that person again, or when we're lying down in bed at night and we have a memory, we remember what that person did to us, in that very moment we have a choice. We have a choice to be bitter. We have a choice to seek vengeance, to seek justice, to be angry. All of those, you know, in some way might be valid. Or we have the choice to forgive as Christ forgave us. And what's strange about this choice is that the decision we make in that moment most often doesn't impact the person on the other end of that. Most often doesn't actually get to the person who's caused the pain or caused the offense in the first place. We may not have the opportunity to reconcile with that person or to those people again in our lives. But by holding on to that hurt, by holding on to unforgiveness, we actually put ourselves in that box. We actually chain ourselves up to that pain. See, when it comes to unforgiveness, we need to make sure we overcome unforgiveness before it overcomes us. Because it will. I'm going to mention a message later on that Alan Meyer spoke at church here about 7 years ago on forgiveness. And he spoke a lot about the suffering that is caused and how we feel. And he shared from the story of Joseph and how Joseph had to come to the point of forgiving. And as he was speaking about this immeasurable suffering, just close your eyes for a minute. Let's just, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, I know you're going to do breakthrough today in someone's life here who needs to know. Lord God, I pray that you would just give revelation to them of the forgiveness that you have shown them so that they can show it to others, Lord God. Even through the pain and the suffering, Lord God, you are going to give them the strength even now in Jesus' name. Even now in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, and if that's for you, I want you to go back and 30th of November, 2014, get on the LMC website, go to sermons and check out that message on forgiveness from Alan Meyer, and it'll help you out. But when it comes to overcoming forgiveness, one is going to rule. Either we're going to be able to rule it or it is going to rule us. And unfortunately, if we hold on to it enough, not only does it beat us up, not only does it sometimes beat up the person who caused us the offense, but other innocent parties can be hurt in the process as well. That's why it's so important, it's so essential that we actually break free from this. And that is why Jesus is so strong on this teaching to forgive, because he wants to see us break free from the chains that unforgiveness puts us in. He wants to see you walk in victory that he has won for you. And just as we consider all this today, and as we close up, and I want the band to come up, we're going to sing, we're going to worship, man, we'll have powerful times of worship today. I want to give us three quick things that will help us prevent the chains from coming along, prevent them to be locked up. And the first thing is this, that we need to remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Jesus is forgiveness. He has paid the debt that we could never pay. And he has set the example for you. His forgiveness that he showed us is the greatest forgiveness that can be shown anyone. Remember what the Lord has done for you. The second thing that we need to do is let it go. Let it go. Don't hold it back. Let it go. Let it go. Justice is the Lord's. Have you heard the quote, don't get mad, get even. That's not God's way. Someone wrongs you? Look at what the Bible says. Romans 12:9. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We don't need to worry about it. Right, I know we can get all revved up about justice. They did this to me. Our job is to forgive. God will take care of the rest. God's got it. Trust him and leave it with him. And the third thing, let it go. The third thing is that we need to forgive often and we need to forgive quickly. The quicker we forgive, the quicker we move on. And when it comes back again, when it comes up again, we forgive again. 70 times 7. We keep forgiving. We're going to sing Living Hope. You guys can start that up and get ready for us to sing. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain we could not climb. In desperation, we turned to heaven. Spoke your name into the light. Yeah, great. Got it. Then through the darkness, like, I'm just going to keep going. His loving kindness tore through the shadows of our soul. In desperation, we turn to heaven. Jesus Christ, our living hope, right? Hallelujah. Praise the one who set us free. Hallelujah. We heard a testimony in Jesus the Game Changer from a professor of theology called Miroslav Volf at Yale University in the States. And he spoke about a story about his brother being killed at a young age by a soldier when he was back at home. And the opportunity that he and his mother had through the pain and through the suffering that they had caused to actually be in the same room as this soldier and have the opportunity to forgive this person. And it was interesting. What was interesting about this testimony for me was that that he really shared about the fact that it wasn't a one-time thing for him. And I know for all of us, there's going to be this huge pain. Well, for some of us, this massive pain, this massive hurt that maybe you've forgiven in the past, but maybe it's come up again, and you have those memories, and it comes up again. And he said it was. I would forgive during the day, and then at night time I would be like, man, why did I forgive? I didn't need to, I need to get up and get angry about it again, and I need to forgive. And the next day, or a memory would happen, I'm angry again. I need to forgive again. It was this constant thing. And I think Jesus knows that we're going to struggle with this, and there may be a back and forth with this, but here's the truth. In 1 John 3:20, says, for whenever our heart condemns us, whenever there's something going on, whenever our heart does a backflip, whenever it condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And He knows everything. And as we leave and as we sing this today with a revelation of God's great love for us, shown through forgiveness of our sin, we can know that even though our hearts may fail, God is greater than our heart. That He will give us the strength we need. That you can forgive. We can forgive. I can forgive. As God showed us how. As He forgave us. Come on, let's stand this morning. I'm going to pray. And if there is someone, let's just close our eyes. If there's someone in your mind, there's a circumstance, there's something you've experienced in the past, and it continues to come up. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, just allow God to bring that to the surface right now. You may know, you may have been holding on to it for a long time. Or there might be something coming up for you right now that you were unaware that was an issue. Right now, you have a choice to make. There can be a decision in your heart to forgive as God has forgiven you. And as we leave this place, it is not just that one act of forgiveness, but it's that constant attitude towards that person, to those people. Father God, I thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we just give you praise and glory for the forgiveness that you showed us. That while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, you died for us. And we just give you praise and thanks for that today. Lord God, and as we sing this song, as we sing about that living hope, about Christ that we serve, I pray for a breakthrough in the lives of people who are holding on to unforgiveness right now. Lord Jesus, that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon them right now and do a miracle work in their hearts, that as they leave this place, that weight would be lifted. That condemnation that the enemy puts on them would be lifted, Lord God, in the light of your truth and of your glory, Jesus. So, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We glorify your name as the name above all names. We sing of your truth. In Jesus' name, and everyone said this morning, amen.